In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
You bet. Alan Adams here from The Main Edge to talk movies and squirrels on Pass the Popcorn. Happy Monday, Al.
And to you as well.
All right, what's the latest?
We have not had the final trap removed yet, but that's just a matter of timing. Yeah. We had the whole weekend where we didn't hear anything, we didn't see anything. Like, we appear, knocking on the wood, to be good to go.
Nice.
Yes, it has been a long, strange trip, but we are here, and we are very enthusiastic about it.
Excellent. Well, we're glad to hear that. How was your weekend?
It was good. We met up with my in-laws for Mother's Day yesterday. That was nice. On Saturday night, we went to opening night of Becoming Dr. Ruth.
Oh, and how? You'll tell us about that Wednesday.
We'll talk about that at length on Wednesday. But yes, that was a lovely time. Had a pretty good low key kind of week. Did a little bit of yard work here and there, like just keeping it taking her easy. Yeah. I guess
I had to mow not all of it, but some of the lawn on Sunday.
Yeah, like it's one of those things where. It's funny because we got our lawnmower. It's just a standard gas powered like push mower. We got that. It was a gift from my dad when we first bought the house.
Wow.
And he had bought it for like $20, like off the side of the road. And so it's one of those things where it's like every year, every spring, like when the time comes, it's like you go in and it's like, is this the year?
Oh yeah.
You know, are we just done? But the reality is, like, my lawn is so small, and it's not like I'm all that worried about keeping it meticulous. I just don't use the mower that much.
Right.
And so we'll get a new one when the time comes. But for right now, what we've got is pretty good. We're not at mowing length yet, and the reality is I will hold off just as long as I absolutely
oh,
can.
Oh yeah, and mine is we had grass that was like, I don't know, 8 inches high.
Sure.
Up next to the house where you can't get it, where you got to use the weed whacker. And then big stretches of the backyard that are just completely bare.
Right.
That'll come in sometime around August, right before the snows. But anyway, enough of that. Let's talk movies. You saw three. Do we begin with The Sweet, The Stupid, or The Super Heroic, as you have labeled them?
Look, we're gonna spend a lot of time on that last one, so we'll start from the top. I saw it was actually quite a lovely little movie called Along for the Ride on Netflix. I'm on record as being someone who really enjoys coming of age stories set where young people discover themselves and and this is very much of a piece with that. It's based on a novel of the same name by a woman named Sarah Tessen, and it's pretty standard. Like here's the thing: Netflix has all their financial issues currently aside, they've been very savvy in a lot of respects, and one of them is the idea of sort of cornering the market on this sort of like teen romance type movie. It's not the sort of thing that major studios make anymore. It's not the sort of thing that you really see in the theaters anymore, but there is an audience for it. And Netflix recognized that and really started churning them out. And when I say churning them out, that would imply that there is a degree of quality that is perhaps lost in the quantity. And that is accurate. But sometimes you get pretty good ones, and this is one of the pretty good ones. The basic gist is it's a young lady named Auden who she's a high achiever in high school, getting ready to head off to a prestigious university in the fall, trying to figure out what she's going to do with her last summer. She's not a particularly gifted social creature. And so she spends most of her time, her parents are divorced, spends most of her time hanging out with her mom, played by Annie McDowell, actually, who's sort of a very a well-respected academic with all that that entails. But Auden decides she's going to spend the summer with her dad, who's a writer, and his new wife in the seaside town of Colby, which is not in Maine. No. I was just like, oh, that makes sense. And it's no, it's a somewhere in the Mid-Atlantic, North Carolina, I think. But anyway, so it's basically it's your standard like girl goes to a new town, tries to find her way, tries to rediscover herself. You know, encounters the local mean girls who, as it turns out, work at her stepmom's beachside boutique. So that's weird. She winds up meeting a, you know, she's an insomniac. She's up late at night. She winds up encountering a mysterious boy on a BMX who rides around, and they wind up in conversation. And then it's pretty standard as far as like the fundamentals are, like the formula of it, but the stuff on the periphery is a little different, and that's kind of nice. For one, the mean girls, as I mentioned, turns out they're not mean, and everyone becomes friends, and you know, there's not any sort of you know, and there's not even that sort of antagonistic buildup to get to the friendship, which is kind of nice. You know, our heroine is you know, she's pretty well adjusted. Like, her parents got divorced and she struggles with that. Her dad, she doesn't get to spend as much time with her dad, played by Dermot Mulroney, as much as she might like, because he's working on his book. Her stepmom has a new baby. She helps with the baby. It's all very nice. And, you know, you might sense that I'm sort of wandering around any sort of plot synopsis, and that's because there isn't one. Really, it's a very gentle sort of hangout type of movie. Like, the stakes are low. Like, there's not a ton of conflict. What conflict there is pretty easily resolved, and that's okay. Like, it's just nice kids, you know, having parties. Like, you know, they're all just a little smarter and a little more well adjusted than you would expect high school kids to be. And yeah, and you know, the girl, there's a summertime romance blossoming. At one point, it threatens to fall apart, but doesn't, because it's not that kind of movie. And and we go forward to a perfectly fine, you know, expected but not particularly like a rather unusual ending for this kind of movie. Mm. But yeah, along for the ride. It's rich. It's fine.
Well, there you go. I am entranced by that. I'm maybe more interested to hear about The Stupid. So tell us about Marmaduke.
Man, you know what's not fine is Marmaduke.
Look,
I'm not here to. I recognize that, you know, an animated movie about a comic strip revolving around the adventures of a large dog. I'm willing to admit that I am not the target audience for that film, and that's fine. Like, I watch a lot of kids' movies in my official capacity, and even though I am not myself a child, I can recognize when a child might feel that they are being condescended to, or you know, basically treated as if Marmaduke is basically what you get when someone somewhere says, they're kids, they're dumb, they don't care what they're watching. And that's what you get. You get a, frankly, shoddily animated movie. Like, it comes off as, like, you know, 15 years ago when, like, computer generation was first making inroads into, like, television shows?
Mm.
It has that kind of feel. Really poorly done. It's, like, it's not even stylistically interesting and kind of aesthetically off-putting in a lot of places. The plot, such as it is, I'll do the plot right now. So Marmaduke is bad. He's a bad dog. Despite the fact that I believe there are no bad dogs, Marmaduke is portrayed as a bad dog. Who gets up to shenanigans with his family. They start to decide, well, maybe he has to go to obedience school. But then a viral video of one of Marmaduke's particularly exciting shenanigans catches the attention of a world-renowned dog trainer. He's the 6-time consecutive world dog champion trainer. He retired because there were no more challenges. Marmaduke is a challenge. So he decides he's going to train the dog, and then hijinks ensue. That's it. That's the movie. Pete Davidson is the voice of Marmaduke, which feels right. It feels right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's bad.
Oh, well, okay.
But I mean, but it feels right in terms of, oh yeah, Pete Davidson is the voice of Marmaduke. Okay, I'll buy that. David Koechner plays the dad, which, you know, it's fine. It's like, okay, David, you need what you need. I get it. And then, and this is the part that really sort of made me sad.
Uh-oh.
So there's this other dog, Zeus, who is Marmaduke's primary rival for the World Dog Championship. Voiced by J.K. Simmons.
Oh.
Right?
Why? Why?
I don't know. Like, he needed a new pool? Like that's really all I got.
Farmer's not paying him enough?
It's one of those things where it's like, you know, on the one hand, you're like, all right, J.K., get paid. On the other hand, it's like, but really? Come on, man. Although, I mean, you know, it's probably like, you know, an afternoon's work.
Sure.
You know, it's not like, and I love the guy.
Maybe he's got a grandkid who he thinks wants to be talked down to.
Yes. And that's the thing. The thing about this movie that really, like from the word go, you're just sitting there and so much of it is like, what are we even doing here? Like, what is happening? None of this makes sense. And again, I don't need like, I don't need the intricacies of like, of an Agatha Christie plot. in my kid's movie. I don't need everything to like make sense, but within its own context, like you need especially a kid's movie, you need a world that has rules and that follows its own rules. And this movie just doesn't do that. It's just this random sort of flit from set piece to set piece, interspersed with jokes that aren't jokes. The occasional dated pop culture reference and really just uncomfortably long fart-inspired sequence that ends with Marmaduke. You know what? I mean, cover your ears if you're worried about spoilers for Marmaduke. That ends with Marmaduke taking a big old dump inside a trophy.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the kind of movie we're talking about.
Wow.
And look, like, I get it. Like, you know, not every kid's movie is going to, you know, reach the heights of, you know, your Pixar's or anything like that. I get that. But, I mean, at least make an effort. Like, this one, it felt stupid in a way that wasn't fun. Like, I can do stupid as long as I'm having a good time.
Sure.
But there's not even a good time to be had here. It's just, like I said, a random sort of mishmash of non-jokes and pop culture references that the target audience 100% is not going to get. And then a bunch of fart jokes and Marmaduke falls down a bunch. And then there's a dog show. The end.
Stupid.
Alan
Adams of the Main Edge talking movies with us here on Downtown. All right, let's talk about the super heroic, especially for the box office, $187 million opening weekend for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah. Yes, I and tens of millions of my friends all around the world saw this movie this weekend. What did I see? 187 domestic and like somewhere in the mid-400s, I think, globally.
Well, good, first of all. Glad to see that.
Yes.
Even if it wasn't good, I'm glad to see people going to the movies.
And that's the thing. And it's like, people are going, people are engaging. I will say, from my understanding is, this movie showed on a frankly staggering number of screens over the weekend. It was the number I saw was well over 4,000 screens.
Wow.
In this country.
Well, was it David Roth that posted, was it a theater in Times Square that had it in like 27 theaters?
Yeah, like dominating like multiple theaters with like multiple showings a day. And it's just like to the point where a regular screenshot will not contain all of the screenings of Doctor Strange. Look, this is, I believe, the 28th or 29th movie in the MCU. This is the first cinematic franchise to cross reach the level of, I believe, this movie put the MCU over $10 billion domestically and over $28 billion globally in terms of overall box office. It is the definitive cinematic, you know, success, certainly commercial success, of the 21st century. I don't think there's any arguing that. And frankly, I think it's unparalleled in the history of movies. All that being said, now, I enjoyed this movie very much. I'm in the bag for the MCU. Like, that's no secret. I grew up reading comic books. Doctor Strange was not a was not a primetime character for me, but I was familiar and read enough to be you know, so that I was pretty much on top of things in the previous movie, which came out back in 2016. But I think the interesting thing, maybe the most interesting thing about this movie, is the sort of behind the scenes process and how it was made. Because initially it was being written and directed by Scott Derrickson, who wrote and directed the first film. He departed citing creative differences, and they brought in to direct the legendary Sam Raimi, who is frankly responsible for two of the most influential cinematic trilogies of the last 50 years, the Evil Dead trilogy and the first Spider-Man trilogy. Like, this guy redefined what horror could be, and then showed the world the commercial viability of superhero movies. Whether we want to celebrate him for that is something, you know, that your mileage may vary. But he does bring a lot of that sensibility to this film. However, you can definitely see the seams. Like, you can definitely see, like, there are very distinct moments where it's like, okay, that's Derrickson. Okay, that's clearly Raimi. Mm. Okay, here's Derrickson.
Right, see, he did bring along his old buddy from high school, Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell has a really quite funny cameo. Like, he's always great in these Raimi movies. He's particularly good here. I won't spoil it. He shows up pretty early on, so people will see him. I'm not here to get into the plot machinations of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. One, because spoilers. Like, I hate spoiling movies. And while a lot of people saw it this weekend, not everybody did. And so I don't want to give away anything, particularly with regards to some of the cameos that happen, in the film. There are a couple that have largely been given away by promotional materials and trailers and whatnot. But there are a couple that I think people suspected but didn't actually know until they turned up. So. But the basic gist, we see our Doctor Strange. He's running through some sort of crazy dimension with a young lady with him. They're being chased by some sort of fire demon. She's being pursued for her power, which is not defined yet. The demon catches them. She opens some sort of weird star-shaped portal and flies through it. And then Doctor Strange is killed. And it's like, oh. Wow, I didn't really expect that. And then it turns out, well, we're in a multiverse, Rich. And so there are a lot of Doctor Strange. Doctor Stranges? Doctor Strange? I'm going to go with Doctor Strange. Anyway, so we land in what is ostensibly, quote-unquote, our universe. We see Doctor Strange getting ready to attend the wedding of Dr. Christine Palmer, played by Rachel McAdams, who was his love interest in the first film and who is now marrying someone else. So sad Doctor Strange. During the wedding, some sort of giant octopus creature shows up and is going to try and kill the aforementioned young lady, whose name turns out to be America Chavez. And he rescues her with the help of his good friend Wong, played by Benedict Wong. They see some sort of magic runes and we're like, oh, well, that's dark magic. I know someone. Doctor Strange is like, I know someone who I could talk to about this. And then he goes and finds Wanda Maximoff, the Scarlet Witch, played by Elizabeth Olsen, to talk to her about what's going on. And, well, as it turns out, she's going through some stuff, too. It involves the children that she lost during the events of the WandaVision television show, which I'm going to stop right here and say, if you're going to watch this movie and you have not watched WandaVision, you are going to be confused. You are going to lose track of what's going on. The MCU is usually pretty good about not being super reliant on, previous knowledge. But if you have not seen WandaVision, you're going to be in trouble. And it's interesting because this is the first time that has involved, I think, a television show rather than a previous film. It also is complicated by the fact that initially this movie was supposed to come out before WandaVision hit the airwaves. And so that caused some of the apparently massive number of reshoots that this film required. Anyway, leaving that aside, I don't think it's a huge spoiler to say that kind of a heel turn for Wanda Maximoff. Wow. And we wind up, basically cavorting across the multiverse as Doctor Strange and America Chavez try to figure out a way to keep the forces of evil from absolutely, basically causing what they call an incursion, which results in the destruction of one or more parallel universes. Again, there's a lot more going on in this movie, like a lot, but the reality is most detailed plot points are going to spoil action in the film, and so I'm going to decline. So let's talk about the quality of the movie. I really liked it. I think those who are maybe not as invested in the Marvel Cinematic Universe may struggle with it a little bit more. I felt very comfortable but I have a pretty deep knowledge base, not just about these properties, but also about the sort of comic book history. We delve into that a little bit, which is kind of nice. But I got to talk about Raimi here, because the movie really sings in the back half, when you can tell that it's just got Raimi's fingerprints all over it. Like, you know, the sort of the stylistic choices, the aesthetic, the sort of, like, he manages to capture that sort of that lo-fi spirit while still taking full advantage of all the tools at his disposal with this massive budget, which is pretty exciting. He goes into the horror imagery in a way that we haven't really seen in the MCU before. I didn't find it as scary as some people did, but again, that's because I'm coming from a place of familiarity with Raimi's Evil Dead movies. Mm. Like, it's that sort of that horror tinged with slapstick that he just does so beautifully. And to have that in the context of this, you know, massive movie, it's really interesting and it's really fun. The beginning of the film is pretty standard. Like, it's more like MCU boilerplate, like, okay, we have to go from this place to this place to find this thing so we can stop this other thing. And, you know, it's just, we've got multiple MacGuffins and, and Derrickson was clearly trying to generate a sort of mentor-mentee relationship between Doctor Strange and America Chavez to mirror that we had with Tony Stark and Peter Parker. Doesn't really work. Even though it's pretty clear that they're sort of positioning Benedict Cumberbatch to be the Robert Downey Jr. of the franchise going forward, the sort of arch, kind of quippy kind of guy, which he's very good at, by the way. Like, he's got a really strong grasp of how to make this character work in a way that, frankly, I was surprised when they said they were going to do a Doctor Strange movie, let alone two of them. But here we are. Like, it's I think we've passed the point, that particular Rubicon where it's like, well, I mean, until one of these movies really flops, like, they're just going to keep doing it and they're just going to keep digging deeper. And why wouldn't they? Like, it's basically a money printing machine. So why would you not take full advantage of that? But yeah, Cumberbatch is great. Elizabeth Olsen is really good in this movie as well. Like, she's, she's really been put through the ringer a little bit by the MCU. Whether she was being underutilized or, weirdly sidelined, and she was the center of the frame for WandaVision, which was a phenomenal performance out of her. And seeing that sort of develop moving forward was really nice, and the reality is we don't get a ton of genuine development for any of the female characters in the MCU. And so seeing that sort of journey, as extreme as it might seem, was kind of interesting. The young lady playing America Chavez, I'm not going to attempt her name, only because I don't want to wildly mispronounce it, as I am almost certainly going to do. I meant to look up the proper pronunciation before I came on, and I totally spaced on it.
It's got like X's and I's.
Yeah,
it, right?
It's, yeah, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, and it starts with a sh sound, so it's like, so I'm not even going to take a swing. But she's quite good, although a bit underutilized. I think she's more plot device than anything else. Spends most of the time feeling kind of like a hostage throughout the film, through no fault of her own, and she does really well with what she's got. And again, as I said, the cameos are delightful. There's a scene pretty much square in the middle of the movie that features a lot of those cameos coming together, and it is brought forth in a very singular Raimi style of way that is great fun to watch. It'll be interesting to see what people's overall reaction to this film is, because I think the feeling was, it's like, oh, it's got multiverse in the title. Oh, it's got this. I think the feeling was this was going to be another one of those sort of hub type movies from which the rest of the phase four was going to spiral out. And I don't think it is that.
Hmm.
I think we don't really see a ton of other Marvel characters in this context. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens going forward. We'll have to see. Maybe the upcoming Thor movie will serve that purpose. Although, again, that's another one with Taika Waititi at the helm. Like, I don't know how interested he is in you know, serving as sort of a, you know, the hub for all the other spokes. I think he prefers being a spoke. So right. So we'll see. But again, I greatly enjoyed it. I think fans of the MCU will greatly enjoy it. I think people who are unfamiliar or only vaguely familiar with the MCU, either if you don't do your homework, you're going to struggle a little bit with this one. You know, as someone who always did his homework, like I got no problem with that.
Alan Adams of the Main Edge talking movies here on Downtown. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.
We'll see you Wednesday.
Yes, sir.